In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We hear today, brothers and sisters, from our Lord Jesus Christ as he's teaching, and he says, just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. And this is what we call the golden rule. And people will say, well, all religions teach this, but it's not true. You find in other religions the silver rule. Don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. Leave them alone so that they'll leave you alone. But the Lord is calling us to a different, a higher standard. To actively seek to show love to those who might be showing enmity to us. Because what does it mean to do to others what you would have them do to you? Don't you want people to love you and to forgive you even when you mess up? Don't you want people to be merciful to you in spite of all of your weaknesses and all of your mistakes? Even if you mess up so much that you betray someone and then you seek forgiveness, don't you want to receive forgiveness? Of course. This is what we would desire for ourselves, and ultimately this is what we desire of God. In spite of everything, for him to go on loving us and showing mercy to us and forgiving us and receiving us back again like the prodigal son again and again. This is what we desire. And the Lord is saying, if that's what you desire for yourself, then you must show that to others. And of course, this is connected to the fact that God does do this for us. What does the Lord say? Be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Are we called to be God's children? Yes. Then that means we're called to be like our Father, to show the same kind of mercy that he shows to others, selflessly, to sacrifice ourselves for one another. We're called to be merciful just as our Father is merciful. And the litmus test for us, brothers and sisters, to know whether we have the Holy Spirit, this is what St. Silouan says, St. Silouan the Athenite. The litmus test is whether we love our enemies. It's easy to love those who are kind to us. It's easy to love those who do things for us, from whom we get something, you know. But what about those from whom we don't seem to benefit? What about those who betray us, or who give us a hard time, who pester us, who annoy us? What about them? St. Silouan says, if you're inspired by the Holy Spirit, if you're living in harmony with the Spirit of God, you will love your enemies. It's not easy. In fact, humanly speaking, it's impossible. That's why this is a sign that the Holy Spirit is active in our life, if we're able to love even those who've hurt us, to love our enemies. Now, as I already said, God does this first for us. And the parable of the prodigal son is a perfect illustration, and it's an indication of the God that we have, the kind of God, his heart for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells this story in order to show what kind of God we have, what kind of God he is. And so, of course, he says, I won't go through it in detail, but he says there are these two sons, and the younger wants his father dead. Do you understand? What else does it mean to say to your father, I want my inheritance now, than to say, I'd rather you just be dead so I can just have your stuff. I don't want you. I don't want a relationship with you. I just want your money. This is what the younger son says to his father. And the father lets him have it. He gives him his inheritance and he lets him go. Because God respects our free will. And even if we want to wander off and go spend years in a pig's pen somewhere till we have nothing and we're completely empty and we're desperate, he allows us to go. With the desire and the foreknowledge, he knows what we're going to ultimately choose, but the desire that we would, if need be, plumb the depths of our fall and recognize our own emptiness and our need for His grace and His mercy, and then come back humbled, right? But here's the amazing thing, is that when the prodigal son comes back home, he's ready just to put himself in his father's service as a hired servant. Make me as one of your hired servants. But before the words can even finish getting out of his mouth, the father runs to him and embraces him and says, no, you're my son and you've come home. You've come back home. Enter in. Be clothed again. He puts a robe on him. Have a ring, you know, that shows your place as my son. Put sandals on his feet. And he kills the fatted calf and makes a feast for him. This is the kind of God we have, the kind of love that he has for us, the kind of love that he has for his enemies. Who are God's enemies? Every person who opposes his will. That means everybody in this room. Right? When we sin against him, when we sin, when we turn from him, when we reject his will for us, we make ourselves his enemies, and yet he goes on loving us and loving us and loving us. So he calls us to do the same. Now, it can be terribly painful and difficult to think about forgiving and loving certain people if they've hurt us in extreme ways, if they've betrayed us, if they've stabbed us in the back. There's hardly anything more painful that we can think of. And this is why we're saying, this is why St. Silouan says, it's only by the Holy Spirit. And this is how we know that the Holy Spirit is active within us when we're able to do this. And if we find ourselves struggling, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is far from us. It just means that we have more work to do to open ourselves up more, to receive more grace from the Holy Spirit, so that then we'll be able to do that. God is always near to us, brothers and sisters, but we have to be willing to do the work it takes to open up our hearts to receive that grace. Now, it can be that somebody has done something that will cause us to lose trust in them. And we're not saying that there isn't a time when you can no longer trust certain people to do certain things. There is a time when that's the case. There's a time when you have to say, no, you may not serve in that capacity. You may not have that task. You may not do that. You may not fulfill that role. You're no longer able to do that. It's only wise, when we recognize that somebody has certain struggles, not to put them in certain positions. You understand what I'm saying? This is not failing to love them. This is part of loving them. It's part of helping to guide them back to where they need to be. And yes, it's true. Sometimes people need to be behind bars. And that's reality. Sometimes people need tough consequences in order to come to repentance. But whatever the case may be, we must seek the grace to soften our hearts in order to love and to forgive in spite of everything. Even if you have to give a difficult word to somebody, but not to be hard in your heart towards them, but to be soft towards them, to seek their good, to seek their repentance, to seek that they would be filled with God's love, to want the very best for them. Never to allow ourselves to grow hardened and resentful towards anyone. Now again, I have to say this over and over again. Humanly speaking, it's impossible. But the Holy Spirit can make it possible. But more often than not, sometimes we experience those kinds of things that I'm talking about that are so terrible and so painful, and there are crimes that are committed and so on that have to be dealt with. But more often than not, the kinds of enemies that we're dealing with on an everyday basis are just the people who don't like us, are unkind to us, slander us, you know, insult us, criticize us. Sometimes it's even well-meaning criticism. And how do we react? Angry. You know, we make them our enemy. They're not even trying to be our enemy, but we make them our enemy. What about when we look down on someone? We think we're better than someone. We think we're smarter than someone. We think we're prettier than someone. What about when we envy someone? We want what they have. We're not at peace just letting them have the beautiful things that they have. We want that. We're making them our enemy. You see? There's so many ways that we can create enmity between ourselves and others. And when we listen to the devil and his lies, that's exactly where he leads us. That's why we have to be continually repenting and hearing this gospel and saying, Lord, I don't want any enemies. I want to forgive everybody. I want to love everybody. And whether somebody's hurt me or whether they just have something that I want or whatever it might be, let me love them, be at peace with them, and let go of all of those things. This is what we're seeking, brothers and sisters. There are some amazing stories in the life of the church, the lives of the saints, and we know stories from our own lives of what this kind of love for enemies ought to look like. I'm just going to mention two stories. The first one has to do with the saints that we commemorate today, Saint Cyprian and Saint Justina. Now, Cyprian was a sorcerer. He was involved in black magic. He was from Carthage, and he came to the Byzantine Empire. And he lived in the Byzantine Empire, but he came to, if I remember right, the city of Antioch, and he was involved in this black magic. Now, there was a certain young woman named Justina, a beautiful young woman, fair in soul and in body. And there was a young man, Aglaïda, and Aglaïda saw Justina and he fell in love with her. It'd probably be more accurate to say he was infatuated with her. But in any case, he wanted to pursue her. He wanted to woo her. He tried to woo her, and she rejected him. Now, Justina had been a pagan who converted and became a Christian. And she converted her parents also to Christianity. So now her family was serving Christ, loving Christ. And she simply wanted to dedicate her life to Christ. So she rejected Aglaïda because she wasn't interested in what he wanted. She wanted simply to be devoted to the Lord. But Aglaïda didn't want to take no for an answer. So what did he do? He found Cyprian, this magician, and he hired him to cast a spell on Justina to cause her to fall in love with him. You see? So Cyprian went and he started doing his thing. Now what was his thing? What kind of magic was that? It was simply working with the demons. That's all it was. That's all that black magic and sorcery is. It's being in league with the demons. So Cyprian spoke to the demons and he got them to go and attack Justina. And sure enough, they did attack her. She came under violent assault from them. Not physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And so she started to be attacked by all of these evil thoughts. And she felt their evil presence. She knew that she was being attacked by demons. So she made the sign of the cross and she began to pray, to call on the Lord for help, for grace, for mercy, asking for deliverance. And she continued to pray until the attack stopped. Well, the demons went back to Cyprian and reported to him what happened. They said, "We can't get close to her. She makes the sign of the cross. There's light coming from her." So then he said, "Forget you. I'm going to find tougher demons." And so he found other demons and he sent them after her, and the same thing again. And she went through terrible attacks, spiritual warfare, feelings arising inside of her, lustful feelings, all kinds of things, things that she didn't intend at all. We should keep this in mind when all the thoughts come into our minds and all the feelings start and we're wondering, where did that come from? It's demonic. They're logis me, the thoughts that the evil one sends against us. And so all of this stuff started to arise inside of her, but she resisted, right? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. She resisted, and it's possible for us too, brothers and sisters, by God's grace, to resist, to fight, to persist in prayer until the attack stops. And this is what she did. Again, the sign of the cross, calling on God for mercy. entrusting herself to him. And with God's help, the demons again were repulsed, and they went back. And this repeated a few times until finally Cyprian said, "What is going on? You can't defeat a girl, you terrible monster demons. You know, you're supposed to be more powerful than weak human beings, and you can't defeat this one girl." And they said, "Well, but she has, you know, this power." And he said, "Where does this power come from?" He said, "Wherever that power comes from, I want that power." And so he rejected the demons. And then he got in a terrible fight with the devil, who didn't want to let him go as his servant. But he called out for help to God. In fact, he said, "God of Justina," because he didn't even know God yet. He didn't know Christ. He said, "God of Justina, deliver me." And he was delivered. And he came to repentance. He brought all of his black magic books to the bishop to have them burned. They were all burned. He radically changed his life. The grace of God changed him, transformed him, made him new. And brothers and sisters, we have to believe that this is possible, that people's hearts can change. They have to be willing. And it takes hard work. It takes spiritual warfare, which St. Cyprian engaged in. By the grace of God, he was changed. And so not only was he baptized and chrismated and became a faithful Orthodox Christian, but he became a priest and then a bishop. And then this is the most amazing part of the story. Justina not only forgave Cyprian for what he did, what was he doing? He was trying to corrupt her. He was manipulating her. You know, he was preying on her. But she had clear spiritual eyes. She could see that he really had changed. It wasn't just something superficial. And so she recognized that, and she became his spiritual daughter. I think this is astounding. He became her spiritual father, her guide later in life, after his repentance. And so then they ended up becoming martyred together. They went to their deaths for Christ, you know, confessing Christ in the face of the pagan threats that they would be killed if they didn't renounce Christ. They confessed Christ to the very end and were put to death together. They died as martyrs for Christ. So St. Cyprian and Justine, and we see in this case of St. Cyprian how God loves his enemies, those who are given over completely to these dark arts, sorcery, whatever it might be. And he's seeking their repentance. And as soon as they turn to him and repent, he helps them in their repentance. So we see God loving his enemy, Cyprian being transformed and no longer being at enmity with God and softening his heart and seeking forgiveness, and then Justina forgiving the one who had been her enemy, who had done terrible things to her. The last story that I want to share with you is one that comes from Richard Wurmbrand, who was in the communist prison in Romania. And he tells a story about two people whom he met. He met them at the very end of their lives. All three of them were lying in beds in the sick ward in the prison. And on one side of him, this was Richard Wurmbrand was in the middle. On one side of him, there was a man who had been a prison guard. And he, in that position as prison guard, had tortured prisoners, had done unspeakable things to them. But now his own Communist Party had turned against him. Now he was a prisoner. He was dying in the sick ward. And really, he was at the very last moment of his life. And how was he doing? Not only was he in torment physically, but even more devastatingly, he was in spiritual torment. And he was crying out and moaning and groaning and, saying things like, "There's no hope for me." And who was in the other bed, on the other side of Richard Wurmbrand? It was an Orthodox priest. And he was also near death. But this Orthodox priest had been faithful to Christ throughout his whole experience. And he had been tortured. And not only had he been tortured by many prison guards, but he had been tortured specifically by the prison guard who was in that bed. That man had tortured the other man. And now they're both at their last breath, practically, nearly. And Richard Wurmbrand says, he watched as that priest, hearing the man in torment, and the priest knew who he was. The priest could barely move, but he dragged himself out of his bed, dragged himself around to the other bed, and came to that man and held him and said, "It's okay. You need to confess your sins." "No, no, God's never going to forgive me." "Yes, He is. You're going to confess your sins to me now, and I'm going to pray for you for God's forgiveness." And so the priest heard the confession of his own torturer, his own murderer. You understand? He comforted his own murderer. He brought solace to him. He prayed for him. He loved his enemy. And that man, that prison guard, was able to leave this life having received forgiveness from the Lord. It's an incredible thing, but it was because this priest was willing to love his enemy. Brothers and sisters, may we be inspired by these and the countless other examples from the life of the church to do likewise, to forgive all, to love our enemies. Not to have enemies, not to allow ourselves to consider anyone an enemy, but to seek everyone's salvation, to seek everyone's good, everyone's healing. And so we will be merciful just as our Father is merciful. And to Him be all honor, glory, and worship, together with His only begotten Son and the all-holy and good and life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.